podcast listeners from Medical Education. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief, once again. I have a bit of an opportunity to celebrate today because I just realized last night that this is the 50th podcast that I've recorded for the journal. I would think after all that time I would have gotten better at it, but nonetheless, I appreciate you sticking with me as I stumble through this new technology. To celebrate the occasion, I have the opportunity to chat with Kim Rutherford, who's a family physician here in Vancouver. And just since speaking with her before the podcast began, I've come to realize that our lives have really been intertwined in some way, and that we spent time cottaging in the same place in Ontario for a great deal of time, and both were in Hamilton at McMaster up until 2 years ago when we both moved here to Vancouver to work at UBC. Despite all that, we haven't actually met before this phone call. So, Kim, I'm greatly glad for the chance to make your acquaintance, and I hope you're enjoying Vancouver.
Thank you very much.
So you're just finishing up your residency training and are working as a family physician here. You've obviously had an opportunity, though, to engage in some education research and scholarship while you've been here. Has that been a career goal for you all along?
Yes, I have. I finished my family practice training at St. Paul's program here in Vancouver in June and did continue research into medical education topics through my residency. So it is a career goal, and I hope to continue to work at it in the future.
Fantastic. We're glad to have you, and the more the merrier, obviously. So the reason we decided to talk today, though, was a paper that you have coming out in Medical Education in September that's entitled Development of Expertise in LGBT Mental Health Service Provision, a Qualitative Study. And I think before we go too far, for the sake of those who aren't in Canada or may not use the same acronym, I should get you to explain what LGBT stands for.
Sure. So LGBT is an acronym that stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered communities. It's sort of an umbrella term that represents most people who are in the gender and sexual minority communities. The other acronym, though we didn't use it in this study, is LGBTQ, with the Q standing for queer, which is another umbrella term for these communities.
And you've been discussing these issues with individuals who have specialized their practice in LGBT communities in some way, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, so the study actually interviewed 8 mental health service providers who have expertise in caring for the LGBT community. So we got the names of these providers through Rainbow Health Ontario, which is an organization that serves to help LGBT individuals find sensitive providers and services. So we interviewed each of them regarding their experience serving this community and the development of their expertise.
Okay. And expertise it's always been a hot topic in many ways in medical education. There's probably as many people researching that topic as any other. Did you, going into the study, have a sense that LGBT expertise would differ in some way, apart from the obvious of there being a different content area and a different need to consider the specific issues for that sexual minority population?
Yes, we did. We had an idea that there were fewer providers who do have experience and expertise in this area, and we really wondered how they came to develop it, knowing that there was very little curricular content regarding LGBT health in training programs. So we wanted to know how, given this lack in curriculum, how did they go about developing this expertise and learning about the community and learning how best to care for the community.
What was it specifically that you were trying to focus in on these interviews? Was it just their content expertise? Does the curriculum that you're focusing on require any particular process strategy in terms of how to help people develop in this area?
Yeah, so the interviews that we conducted, actually, there were other questions involved. This is one aspect of it. We have another publication that came out in the Canadian Community Journal of Mental Health regarding the barriers that LGBT individuals face when seeking appropriate care. So those were some of the questions that we asked. But as a preface to that, we actually asked about how the providers came to provide care for this community. And what we found is that all of the 8 providers that we were able to identify and recruit for our study self-identified as members of the LGBT community. And that self-identity, personal experiences, and experiences through their medical and social work and psychology training really led them to recognize the need for LGBT-sensitive services in mental health. Mm-hmm. And through that, and recognizing the deficit in the curricular training that they received, many of them went on to seek out personal training experiences, continuing medical education, workshops, and then many of them actually developed curriculum to try and teach other providers the basics of LGBT terminology, interviewing technique, what should be included in the curriculum, and really how best to care in a sensitive and culturally competent way for these diverse communities.
Right. It was interesting. One of the things I remember from your papers is that you commented it's not necessary, though, to be part of that community in order to learn these things and be part of that care. And I know from personal relations that there are many who are in that community who don't tailor their practice towards the LGBT group. Did you get any sense of what it was for these eight individuals that led them to want to tailor their practice in this way?
Yeah, we did get some of the sense of that. And again, a lot of it came back to personal experiences. One of our participants was a social worker who'd had early experience personally with social workers who really helped him and inspired him to go on into the field of social work. For the two psychiatrists interviewed, both of them really recognized the lack of training in that area and the mental health outcomes. LGBT communities have unfortunately, poorer mental health outcomes compared to heterosexual and cisgendered or non-transgendered individuals. And this was a driving force, I think, for both of the psychiatrists interviewed. They stated that they felt a personal need to give back to the community and to contribute to bettering these outcomes upon graduation from their training programs.
Right, right. And so what recommendations come out of your work in terms of how to further develop expertise in this area or make sure that a bigger portion of the community has some familiarity and some comfort with dealing with these particular issues?
So we had a number of suggestions that came up, and just to highlight what you said earlier, we did find that a lot of the benefits that these providers said got from having a matched provider-client identity with the LGBT community could be achieved by any provider who has an open-minded approach and creates a safe space for their LGBT patients, avoiding heterosexist assumptions and identifying their space as a safe space for patients to come out to the providers. With respect to the specific curricular recommendations, our participants really highlighted the need to integrate LGBT health at a curriculum level. Right now, it's more an optional or skills and knowledge that individuals seek out in training rather than something that's integrated at the level of the curriculum for all medical trainees, social work trainees, psychology trainees. And by integrating it at the level of the curriculum, it really reaches everyone and helps all providers to be sensitive and provide quality care and develop comfort working with LGBT individuals. So at a content level, our suggestions include including lectures on the health disparities experienced by LGBT communities and really looking into why these health disparities exist. Research does show that it is the experience of stress and having a stigmatized identity, the experiences of discrimination, and living in homophobic or heterosexist environments that contribute to the poor mental health outcomes we see in the LGBT community. Further curricular content could be small group discussions, case presentations involving LGBT patients, standardized patients in training that identify as LGBT, and clinical rotations or electives that may have a focus on LGBT health.
Okay, your penultimate statement there, the one about the role of having experienced discrimination and a variety of related issues, leads me to think that the findings that you're collecting here may very well have resonance for any number of minority groups, that putting yourselves in the individual's shoes and coming to some better understanding through exposure seems like a reasonable way of trying to revise and improve attitudes towards any underserviced or undercared for group. Are there specific issues for LGBT communities, or do you think this group well represents what some of the strategies or expertise development milestones for people working with any other community?
Absolutely. I think our participants really highlighted that it's really sensitivity training and cultural competency that's important here, and that goes for any range of minority groups. And an understanding of the challenges that these communities face really goes a long way in developing that relationship with your patient who is a part of any of these minority communities. Additionally, it was really highlighted in our paper that although our participants themselves identified as LGBT, they still had a lot of work to do to understand the other range of identities and parts of that community. So having a lesbian identity really does not help all that much. in understanding the experiences of a transgendered individual. And everyone really needs to go through that understanding and that development of knowledge and all the other aspects. And right. that, again, goes for any minority community.
Right. That nicely leads to the last question I'll ask you, which is one of the challenges in any area of, you know, coming to the conclusion that we need to build this into the curriculum is that the curriculum is obviously a zero-sum game. There's limited space that we can use, and so everything that needs added takes up extra space. And so I'm wondering what your thoughts are on how some of this awareness training can be built in to existing curricular structures in a way that doesn't simply result in an extra course being added, so to speak.
Absolutely. I think it really can be integrated into the structures that we already have in a lot of the medical training. We do a lot of sensitivity training around other marginalized communities, and adding the LGBT focus in there could help. Additionally, we do a lot of standardized patients, and standardized patients are part of gaining clinical skills and learning to develop rapport with patients. And adding in, you know, an LGBT standardized patient that addresses some of the issues of interviewing techniques and sensitive language and how to ask the questions in, you know, a non-judgmental and sensitive way, I think would be very beneficial.
Makes sense to me. I'll look forward to hearing how that evolves both locally and hopefully through your continued research.
Thank you very much.
It's been great chatting with you. I'll just remind the listeners that I've been speaking with Kim Rutherford, who's a family physician here in Vancouver, and I've been talking about her paper entitled Development of Expertise in LGBT Mental Health Service Provision, a qualitative study that will be published in the September 2012 issue of Medical Education. Thanks again, Kim, and good luck with all your continued work.
Thanks very much for having me on the podcast today. Mm-hmm.